This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster My Podcast, Season 2.
And this is an introduction to Shadowrun.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We're back, baby.
We're back after a modest 3-week break to reconsider, to look at some new monsters. I'm looking at a picture of a happy little trash friend right now. And we're starting Season 2, which is going to be the beginning of a lot of seasons that are substantially shorter than the Monstrous Manual season.
I don't know if we'll get a season as long as that season.
No.
Again, I don't think they make monster manuals quite that big. And we could switch to just like third edition, but there'd be a lot of overlap. So I think that we need to concentrate on Gaiden books.
Yes.
When we go back to D&D.
Yes, Gaiden, or in this case, entirely new settings, since this season is about the Paranormal Animals of North America book, also known as Peterson's Guide.
Indeed. So this is a Shadowrun source book for Shadowrun 2nd edition. Second edition being the sweet spot for all editions.
Right.
The least playable but most flavorful of all tabletop editions.
Least playable, most flavorful. This was published
like in a good steak.
This was published in 1990. But Shadowrun is really, I mean, for me personally, it's a setting that I've only ever encountered in video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something I've played all the Shadowrun games except for all the ones that came to America.
Right.
And I have played quite a bit of the tabletop game. This is my second to D&D. As far as things I have that kind of affection and old school attachment to. So it's Shadowrun's very important to me. And I think that Shadowrun also has one of the best hit to miss ratios of a licensed property in video games in a totally unsung way.
Yeah.
Like there's 6 Shadowrun games that I've played, and fully 5 of them range from like good to really good. You know, and that's not true of most properties.
Absolutely not, yeah.
Good on you, Shadowrun. It is arguably, I think, and I've seen this argument made before and kind of truck with it, that it is the best tabletop setting. It is really, really versatile. It's really imaginative, especially for the time, and really foundational.
Yeah.
Really influential in a lot of things. So we wanted to do, this is not necessarily going to be a Barrel of Laughs episode, but we wanted to do a few minutes just to describe Shadowrun to people so you guys know what it is.
Right.
Because it's not as well known as D&D.
Yeah. So
everybody knows what a basilisk is.
in kind of broad strokes, Shadowrun is a cyberpunk setting. However, there's a great deal of magic involved because something occurred called the Awakening, which kind of awakened these magical abilities in both people, created kind of demi-humans, and also turned regular animals, some of them, into a lot of these beasts that we're going to be talking about this season.
Yes. And this awakening interacted with pollution and diseases and stuff in weird ways and unpredictable ways in general to make the world a little bit scarier and animals scarier than they were. So that's the first thing you need to know about Shadowrun. So when we talk about one of these monsters and we say it's an awakened ferret, that's what we mean.
Right.
It's a ferret that got some magic jazz kind of put back into its veins and turned it into a weird monster. The second thing to know is that since we talk about adventure hooks a lot on the show, what you're doing in Shadowrun. So what you were doing in Shadowrun is you are a gang of criminals, essentially, called Shadowrunners. That doesn't mean you're necessarily evil, but you're operating outside the law. And you do Shadowruns, which are like just contracts.
Right.
So that could be, go into this corporation and get this data, go into this the wilderness and, retrieve an artifact, things like that. Like essentially just very, missions. It's not so much Dungeons & Dragons style, like, one, it's not necessarily altruistic, like in Dungeons and Dragons often, there's a plague in this village because of this monster, like go slay the monster. Here it's more, it's always a job. So it's got a little bit of that Witcher flavor, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not like, I found a place, let's explore it.
Right.
It's much more like you know what's there, and finding intelligence and doing research and things like that are always very important.
Right.
And this book is very flavored by that. That's what this book is an in-world way for characters to do research.
Yeah.
Like this exists in the game world more than the Monster Manual does.
Yeah. What's great about this is, this book itself is one half, just like a wildlife guide compiled by this guy named Peterson. However, it is a living document on a BBS. Again, this was made in 1990.
Yes. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
The bulletin board systems of 2077.
But somebody took this. They took out. I called it the Peterson guide. It's the Patterson guide. I'm thinking of Sandy Peterson because I'm waiting for my Cthulhu book to come. But no, this is Patterson's guide. They took Patterson's book, got rid of all the boring stuff, the silverfish and the hummingbirds and stuff, left the things that are dangerous to Shadowrunners. And we have, you know, the informational parts of it, but we also have something called Shadow Talk, which is actual Shadowrunners saying, oh, this part of it's bullshit, or here's something that isn't taken into account that you need to, you know, watch out for.
Yes, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that in the Monsters Manual, where it like had adventurers like kind of on the ground tips.
Yeah.
These have kind of a built-in ecology section for us that kind of gives you a sense of what these things are like in real life. Mm-hmm. One of the most clever things this book does is immediately there's a foreword for the person uploading it to the BBS in the fiction who says, like, we've done research into how this was funded. Like, it's government funded. So this is not to be trusted. Like, not only, you know, are we going to supplement this, but everything here, you don't know if it's true because the information source is not reliable.
Right.
So it is a Monsters Manual that exists in world that has commentary by characters in world and is an unreliable narrator. So we're already dealing with a lot of real clever tricks.
Yeah.
Which are all things that we would pine for. Like, that's the kind of thing I feel like we would suppose in a Monster Manual entry.
Right. How many times do we talk about,
like,
a wolf wrote this?
Or just how cool would this be if this, you know, this was information that characters had,
right,
instead of players? Like, this is all information that characters have. Like, Shadowrun is really good at blurring those kind of lines. And there's a whole lot of powers and stuff that creatures can get. They're all really self-explanatory to them, so we'll be talking about those. There is a limited set, so there are some unique things that they can do, but there are things like concealment. So, like, if a creature can turn invisible, that's a stock power. We're going to run into a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think it will be a slightly different kind of season as well, not just because these are a lot more animal-like than monster-like mostly.
Yeah.
There's that kind of nod towards realism.
Yeah. Having looked ahead, I think that just like the Monstrous Manual season had Unremarkable Undead, we're going to have a lot of, oh, it's a Sasquatch, but...
Yes. Yeah. And there's usually one kind of thing to grasp onto.
Yeah.
At the very least. But there will be, you know, that kind of thing. Luckily the book is very short, so this will be a short season. If people like this and this ends up going well and we do a couple other things in between, there's a European version of this as well. So there's a second edition of this book that has monsters based in Europe.
Yeah. One other thing I want to talk about with the format of this book, something I'm incredibly grateful for.
The size comparison?
The size comparison. I love it so goddamn much.
Yeah, it's so helpful.
they have a silhouette of just a dude, like a, you know, or a person in a duster and cowboy hat. So I'm just imagining it's Roland from the Dark Tower.
In the Shadowrun book, in the second edition Shadowrun book, which is one of my favorite, like, flip through for bad art tabletop books of all time.
Right.
There's a section of, like, NPCs or, like, player characters you could choose. And this is the street mage.
Huh.
There's this, like, very cool illustration that I've had, like, stuck in my subconscious since 1990.
Right.
That is just, like, this very, like, cool looking mage in a suit. Like, it looks really cool. So this is a mage.
So he's a street mage. He's just it's a little David Blaine.
He's like a regular mage, except he's more street. It's like NBA Street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, Mario Street Strikers or whatever the fuck that.
Mario 3v3 Strikers,
three v three. What's the basketball? Isn't the basketball one called, like, Mario Street?
It's like Mario Hoops or something like that.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. But yeah, the size comparison.
Yeah, the size comparison is very good. It puts the animal in silhouette in comparison to what you would assume is, like, the outest, or like a regular sized dude human.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic, because how many times have I wanted something for scale or praised the Monstrous Manual for putting in, like, a dagger or something? This box also shows, like, where it ranges in the U.S. Like, it's worth noting for people who aren't familiar, Shadowrun takes place in an altered version of the real ass world.
So if you're using this as a GM, you could say, like, okay, you know, my characters are going down to Louisiana for this thing, and there's information on, like, what Louisiana is like in the future, and then you can look and see which monsters are down there just by kind of flipping through the book.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited about this. Is there anything else that we need to know specifically about Shadowrun or the kinds of characters that you can play? Those are the kind of jobs that you're going to be doing.
I guess the other part that is worth noting, because it's a theme throughout the book, is the kind of corporate, like kind of oligarchy theme.
Because of this oligarchy, even like regular governments, or specifically like law enforcement or military, they're kind of on equal footing with their
megacorps.
Yeah, the megacorps. Yeah.
Yes. So if you like the word megacorp, we're going to say it a lot.
Yeah.
And that influences this as well. So when people are kind of supposing on the origins of these things, when they're kind of talking about when you might run into them, they're going to mention these corporations kind of owning them, manipulating them, things like that.
Right.
All that stuff will kind of come out, I think, in the wash. But just so you know, corporations are the villain because it is a cyberpunk setting with a punk underlined.
Yes, it is. It is cyber with punk. Corporations are the villains, and everything is a corporation.
Yes. So everything is the villain. That's one of the joys of this this setting. So, right. Yeah. And if you don't like this, if you just like D&D, we'll be back to some D&D stuff soon enough. Yeah. Give us a few months. I think that's about it. We don't have like a jokey ending for this because we just want to do an explainer to introduce the season. But yeah, we'll see you guys in 2 days with our good buddy the Aardwolf. Aaron Aardwolf. The beginning of the monster book.
A gorilla.
Yeah.
So I also want to say before we just leave off, because we don't really get a chance to do that, please leave us a rating or review on iTunes if you get the opportunity. Yeah. It does help us out. And raises our visibility. You know, the regular spiel if you listen to us in other places, but you know, the format of the show doesn't let us make repeated appeals to you.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense to do 45 seconds of like, you know, support talk
right
in a show that's 5 minutes.
What is this, 99% invisible?
Yeah. So we don't want to do that. We're gonna do it now. If you like the show, please support it. Ratings, reviews, telling your friends.
Patreon.
Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV. I want to see this on tabletop message boards and shit.
Yeah,
I think this is a fun show for tabletop fans. So please spread the word.
Brought to you by our backers at Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV.